for our time together. Thank you, Lord, for the blessings of hearing the Word of God through music, through preaching. And I pray the Spirit of God will speak to all of our hearts. Lord, this is for each of us individually. And Lord, those who may be here who do not know the blessed Lord and Savior, may the conviction and may the Spirit of God convince them of their need and convert them to you. We pray in Christ's name, and all God's people said, amen. You may be seated.
Thank you. While you're being seated, again, welcome to Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today, we'd like to welcome you here for the first time. Maybe it's been your first time in a long time. We would like to encourage you to fill out the visitor's card that's located in the pew right in front of you, and fill that out in its entirety, front and back, and make sure you drop that off at the Welcome Center as you leave today. We've got a special gift just to thank you for being here with us on our 240th birthday celebration here at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. So visitors, please make sure you do that. A couple other announcements. If this is your first time, or maybe first time in a long time, just a reminder, restrooms are right out the back doors. Ladies' room over on the right, men's room over on the left. And if you need to take advantage of our nursery facilities, if you'll head straight down the long hallway, our ladies will greet you down there and help you as much as possible. A reminder, after the service, parents of children, make sure you go and get your children first before heading over to the gym. That way we can kind of relieve our workers a little bit, okay? And we'd like to encourage you for your children to sit with you as you eat lunch over in the gymnasium. Couple other things, if you wouldn't mind, to please make sure your cellular devices are on silent mode. That'll be helpful through the service. And then we would like to recognize, as our ushers are coming, we do have one of our government officials with us today. Glad to have Brother Scott Buckingham. Brother Scott, if you wouldn't mind to stand up back here in the back. He is our property assessor. So grateful to have him here with us today. Thank you, sir. Glad to have you here. And again, as they are coming, we are taking two offerings this morning. This first one will be our regular Sunday offering. We will take an offering for the inspirations at the end of the service, and Dr. Stevens will give some more instruction about that. If you would like to give toward the inspirations, if you could just make those checks out to BRBC, and then we'll make sure they get those funds that are designated for that. And as a church family, we are taking good care of Brother Scott Pauley and his family. So glad to have them with us today. After the offering, the inspirations are going to come and sing a few numbers, and we'll have a congregational or two. And then Brother Scott Pauley is going to come up right after that and preach for us this morning. So I hope you have your Bible out and have it ready. Brother Jack Young is going to make his way to the platform and pray for our offering. And so thankful for Brother Young and his family. If you'll pray for the offering, please. Thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to serve you. And we thank you, Lord, for the generous church that we have, how we can serve missions around the world. We pray also for the Pauley Ministry. We thank them for being with us, and also the special way that the inspirations can reach so many different hearts and help be an encouragement to those dealing with struggles. We pray your blessing on this offering now, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Well, good morning. Sound like you're still asleep. Amen. We got to switch up a little bit and let this piano player play the guitar. We sing a few songs and we'll feature our bass singer on the first song. Normally he plays the bass guitar, and an older gentleman sings bass, but he's not with us today, and he's on vacation. And this young man, when the old man has to miss, the young man sings the bass. He's 20 years old, and he sang bass with the Chuck Wagon Gang for a couple of years, and he left the Chuck Wagon Gang and wanted to travel with us. And when I saw him, I said, "Son, if you'd have stayed with the Chuck Wagon Gang much longer, you'd have starved to death." Don't you think he looks wormy? That's what I call him, wormy. But he don't sound like it. We're going to sing a little bit of Roll On, Jordan.
There's a river rolling deep and wide.
The rolling
paradise is on the other side.
Yes, heaven is waiting
when this old life is over.
There I'll hear about
forever I'll abide.
Roll on, my
old river.
That speed of forever led. Always roll gently,
guard
your shores intently.
Someday we must cross the
foam.
So roll on, Jordan, roll on. Old river deep and wide.
My home
is on the other side. I want to reach that home, Lord. So roll on, Jordan. Someday soon I know I'm going home.
I'm going
there. I'll see my Savior on his throne.
Yes, then I'll see Jesus.
I'll be so happy there.
Never more to roam.
No, never more to roam.
Roll on the mighty old river to that sweet of forever led. Always roll gently, guard your shores intently.
Someday
we must cross the Yordan.
So roll on, Jordan, roll on. Old river deep and wide, my home is on the other side. I want to reach that home, Lord. So roll on, Jordan.
You're the last old river that I've got to span to reach my mountain in the promised land.
So won't you roll on, Jordan. You like that? Do that last verse again.
Someday soon I know.
No, I'm going home.
I'm going
there. I'll see my Savior on his throne.
Yes, then I'll see Jesus.
I'll be so happy there.
Never more to roam.
No, never more to roam.
Well, roll on, my
old river.
To that speed of
forever.
Let your waves roll gently. Here's yours
intently.
Someday
we must
cross
your own. So roll on, Jordan, roll on. Old river deep and wide, my home is on the other side. I want to reach that home, Lord. So roll on, Jordan.
Now you're the last old river that I've got to stand to reach my mountain in the promised
land. So won't you roll on, roll on, Jordan.
As I journey through this vale of sorrow, the way seems so strange and unknown. Lord, I need helping hand tomorrow, for I cannot find the way alone. I cannot find the way without thee, dear Lord. Look down from thy throne and make thy light to shine around me, for I cannot find the way alone. When the raging storms of life confound me, dear Lord, wilt thou keep me thine own? Let me feel thy precious arms around me, for I cannot find the way alone. I cannot find the way without down from thy throne and make thy light to shine about me, for I cannot find the way alone, and make thy light to shine around me, for I cannot find the way.
This next song, a preacher friend of ours wrote this song. He said he was really down. He said the devil really had him defeated. He said his son had accepted the call to preach and was doing a great job. And said his wife told him that she didn't want to be a preacher's wife and left him. And he said, I just couldn't hardly get over that. He said, and I was so depressed, and he said, I got to praying, and God got to speaking to me, and he gave me this song. And I hope it'll be a blessing to you. It sure is a blessing to us. There's never been a friend like Jesus. You think you don't have a friend? If you know the Lord, he's a faithful friend. Amen. Listen to this great message.
When the hurt goes deeper than the deepest place your heart has ever known, and you're standing in your darkest trial, and it seems you're standing all alone. When the tears fall down like bitter rain, and you're wondering if the sun will shine again. In the midst of disappointments, look around, you'll find a faithful friend. He's walked through my darkest valley, shining light upon the lily by the way. And he has picked me up and held me when I thought I could not face another day. And when my heart has stopped its singing, and my mind was simply searching for an end, I can tell you by experience, I found a faithful friend. Jesus is a friend that sticks closer than any brother ever can. When the ones that I had trusted proved untrue, on him I could. could depend. And he's never failed or let me down, and his love helped my broken heart to mend. So pick up the broken pieces, look around, you'll find a faithful friend. And he's walked through my darkest valley, shining light upon the lily by the way. And he has picked me up and held me when I thought I could not face another day. When my heart has stopped its singing and my mind was simply searching for an end, I can tell you by experience I found a faithful friend. Yes, I can tell you by experience I found a faithful friend.
Amen. You go back. Have you enjoyed the music of our piano player, Brother Luke Vault? He's from Glasgow, Kentucky. Brother Luke, give him a good hand.
Thank you.
This morning. He plays all the instruments. He can play any instrument. He did a instrumental CD and played 10 different musical instruments on that CD. And he can sing any part. The Reverend Eddie Dietz, that been the baritone singer, he joined the Inspirations in 1969, Brother Eddie did, and he pastors a church, so he couldn't be here this morning. He had to preach at his own church, and they don't let him miss but so many Sundays, and this wasn't one of them, I think. But when we're way off in Missouri or somewhere and can't get back home, then he has to miss. And when we're this close, he just can't miss preaching at his home church, or he'll get churched. Amen. But Brother Luke's a great singer, and we appreciate him. This young man right here is from Crossville, Tennessee. He talks about the Tennessee Vols all the time, and the man, the old man that sings bass, he's from Alabama, and all we hear out of him is Roll Tide, and we have a lot of conflict in the group when they, especially in the fall, you know. Brother Roland Kesterson, a great preacher and singer. And Wyatt Austin over here from Morganton, North Carolina. Morganton's where the state mental hospital is. And I don't know if he's ever been there or not, but they're from the same place. Brother Wyatt's a great bass singer and does a great job. And we appreciate him. I'm going to sing one of our most requested songs. It's been requested this morning. I'm glad I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. You can't leave out the blood of Christ. I'm glad that I know him as my personal Savior. And I'm glad most of all he knows me. Listen to this great message. It's still the blood. Once I wondered in sin's black night, there was no way to make my wrongs right. Then the old accuser to the Lord did cry, he is a sinner, and now he must die. Then I heard a voice say, Father, I'll go and I'll pay his sin debt in Calvary's flow. I'll bear in my body the marks of the cross to save this child who is sin sick and lost, and is still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. There are those who rely on works that they do, and some men count on the times they pray through. But when the battle's over and victory is won, I'll go home through the blood of the Father's only Son. Still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory to me. Amen. I tell you, we're supposed to do a congregation right now. Why don't you stand and let's all sing that chorus a couple of times. You know the chorus to It's Still the Blood. Would you sing it with us? And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. It is still the blood of Jesus that brings victory. Sing it one more time. And it's still the blood that saves from sin. It's still the blood that cleanses within, from the highest star in heaven to the depths of the sea. Jesus, that brings victory to me. Amen. Thank you. God bless you.
First time I met you, may be seated, Brother Polly. Thank the Lord for him. I've heard great things about him. Look forward to hearing him today. Aren't you looking forward to hearing him today? Amen. Amen. Come ahead, brother.
Thank you, sir. Well, what a day to be here. Are you glad to be here this morning? It's wonderful. And how many of you would say this is your church home? Would you raise your hand? It's your church home. That's great. Well, welcome home today. How many of you, like us, are visiting today? Would you raise your hand, please? Good. Well, you picked a great day to visit. And this church is celebrating today 240 years. I'm in a lot of churches, but I'm going to tell you something. I've never been in a church this old in my life. And it's wonderful to see not only that it is still in existence, but it is growing and it is moving forward. And I'm just so thrilled about it. I want you to do something. Everybody, turn and look at the person next to you. Don't look at me. Everybody, turn and face the person next to you. I want you to stare into their lovely eyes for just a moment. Some of you sat next to the wrong person. I'm sorry about that. Look at them just a moment and repeat after me. Everybody, ready? Here we go. For 240 years... you look good. Good. Wonderful. Today is my 43rd birthday. And honestly, I was feeling pretty rough about 43 years. Good night, I'm getting old. And then I realized y'all are 240 years old. It made me feel much better about the whole thing. And what a day of celebration together. I've just enjoyed myself this morning. Dr. Lashley, I love you. Thank God for you and your wife. I was so encouraged listening to you this morning. And thank God for your faithfulness. He's been a real encouragement to me. And Dr. Stevens, thank the Lord for how the Lord is using you at this juncture in this church. And I believe the greatest days are ahead for Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. It was Adoniram Judson that said, the future here is as bright as the promises of God. We believe the promises of God. All the promises of God in Christ are yea, and in him, amen, to the glory of God by us. And so we're laying hold on the promises of God for the future today, believing the Lord for great things. I've enjoyed this music this morning. I said to these men a few moments ago, I grew up listening to them sing. Well, not all of them. Some of you aren't that old. But I grew up listening to the Inspirations sing. And we live in a world of change. You know that, right? And lots of music has changed. But one of the great encouragements to me this morning was to listen to this group of men sing these great old songs about the Lord. And to know they're singing the same kind of music and the same way that they have all these years. Now, that's a great thing. And, you know, you don't have to be new to be fresh. Lots of people are looking for some new thing. Sounds a lot like the people in Athens in the New Testament. The truth is not new. God is the eternal God. And really what we need is not a new thing. We need a fresh touch from the Lord. And so I thank the Lord for folks who stayed with the same thing and stayed with the Word of God. It's a great, great thing. Well, I want you to open your Bible with me, if you will, this morning to 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. The 1 Samuel, chapter number 7. And once you've found your place there, I want you to just hold it for a moment. And I want to lay a little groundwork, if I may, for what I'm about to say to you this morning. This week is a week of celebrations for me. Of course, celebrating a birthday. Friday night, I had the privilege of helping conduct a wedding ceremony in Knoxville for a lady who worked for me in our offices for years and a young man that grew up in our youth group. And that was a great privilege. And now this morning, to get to stand in one of my favorite churches. And I really mean that. I said to somebody the other day, not only do I enjoy preaching there, my family always enjoys when we go there. And you can tell a lot about church when you're in and out of a place multiple times and the spirit of the place and the people. God has given you such a rich, wonderful heritage. And it's just a great thing to be here with the people of God today. So this is a week of celebrations. But I want to say something to you this morning, and I want you to hear me with your heart. Because I'm not here to talk to you about your past this morning. I'm here to talk to you about your future. You see, I believe for a Christian, every celebration is an opportunity for a rededication. In other words, we don't just come to a certain point and say, well, that's nice. Yeah, we've enjoyed it. It's been good. No, at every mile marker along the journey, you say, now, by the grace of God, I'm going to be faithful to the Lord till we get to the next mile marker. In fact, by God's grace and help, I want to be faithful to the Lord till we cross the finish line, till we get to glory. And so this is not just a day of great celebration about the past. This is a high, holy moment for this church. And not only for this church, but for every individual that's here today. You may not even be a member of this church. You may be visiting today, never walked through the door. Maybe you came today not even knowing what today was. I want you to know that God does everything on purpose and nothing by accident. And if you're here today, you're here today for a definite reason. And when I finish preaching in just a few moments, and I'm not going to preach all day. I promise you I'm not going to preach all day. All God's people said, it's the wrong place to say amen. I'm not going to preach all day. I did say to my wife, she said to me, what time are you going to be done? And I said, I'm not sure exactly what time I'm going to be done, but I know this. Nobody has to run to the restaurant today because they have boxed lunches prepared, so that gives me at least an extra 5 minutes. Would you agree with that? I'm not going to preach all day. But when I finish preaching in a few minutes, I intend to ask every person in this room to respond without exception. And whether you do or not, it's not between me and you. Sorry, it's between you and God. And if you say, well, I'm not responding, then you've already made your decision. But I'm just going to tell you right up front what I believe. I believe that you cannot be neutral on truth. which means you either got to accept it or reject it. You got to say, I'll make that my own, or you got to say, that's not for me. You've got to obey it or disobey it. But when we're done, there are going to be two groups of people that leave this building. And I'm not talking about male or female, rich or poor, old or young. Only two groups of people leave this building, and that's those who've taken this truth and said yes to God and those who've rejected it. And I pray to God you'll be in the first of those groups. Now, 1 Samuel chapter 7 is an amazing chapter. We're going to read it in just a moment. But before we do, I want to say one word. Now, stay with me a moment. There's a reason. There's a method to the madness. I'm going to say one word. When I say my word, I want you to say out loud the next thing that comes to your mind. This is dangerous for a preacher to do, but we're going to try it, all right? I'm going to say a word. You say the next thing that comes to your mind. Ready? How many of you are ready? Yes? Here we go. Ebenezer, that's what I thought you'd say. Bunch of carnal people, what's wrong with you? It's a funny thing, but in our world, when people talk about Ebenezer, almost immediately everybody's mind runs to Charles Dickens' famous story and Ebenezer Scrooge. It's sad, really, sad that the name Ebenezer has gotten connected to a negative when actually the name Ebenezer is found in the Bible, in Scripture, and it's not connected to a negative, it's connected to a positive. Here's a story. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 7, beginning in verse 1. The men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill and sanctified Eleazar his son to keep the ark of the Lord. And it came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. Pause and look at me just a moment. 20 long years without the presence of God. I'm just going to tell you, let me testify a moment. I don't like living one day without the conscious presence of God. And I love what Dr. Lassie said earlier this morning about the blessing of the Lord on this church. And I believe this with all my heart. I believe every good thing in life is connected to the presence of God. And by the way, not just in this world, but in the world to come, every good thing, every blessing is connected to the presence of our good God. Everything. 20 long years they've lived without his presence visibly among them. The ark has been taken. Hophni and Phinehas killed. The daddy, the priest, Eli, fell off a seat, broke his neck. And they named it Ichabod. That's another name. It is connected to a negative and should be. Because it means the glory has departed. And for 20 long years, Israel lives without the blessing and without the glory and without the presence. And then, aren't you glad that God is a God of mercy? The Bible says in verse 3, and Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, then put away the strange gods and Ashtaroth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve him only, and he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Do you know what most people do? Do you know what most people do when they hit a wall? Do you know what most people do when they hit bottom? Do you know what most people do when they come to the end of some good thing? They just throw their hands up and they say, well, I just quit. May I remind you of what old Vance Havner said? He said, when you get to the bottom, you find out the foundation is still there. And it's at that moment that the Lord truly desires to do something. See, sin and the flesh and the world and the devil brings you to a dead end. God never brings you to a dead end. He brings you to an open door. Our God, praise his holy name, is the God of new beginnings. And in a moment, Samuel says, you can be right with God. In a moment, you can have his presence. In a moment, you can know the blessing again. Verse number 4, then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtaroth and serve the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel to Mizpah, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together to Mizpah and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said, there we've sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpah, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. Wait a minute. I thought you said they were going to get the blessing. I thought you said they were going to have the presence of God. I thought you said they had a new beginning. Oh, yes. Well, that doesn't mean the devil's going to leave them alone. You really think when God is working, the devil's just going to lay down somewhere and let it be? Everything God ordains, Satan opposes. And every time the Lord begins to work in a fresh, precious, powerful way, the devil pokes his ugly head up. I'll just remind you this morning that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so they're afraid. The Bible says in verse 8, the children of Israel said to Samuel, "Cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering holy unto the Lord. I love this. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Aren't you glad God still hears and answers prayers? This church is a testimony to answered prayer. Now, you've had wonderful preaching in this place, but may I remind you that the blessing of the Lord comes in regard to the praying. And I tell you, I believe this with all my heart. The reason you've had such wonderful preaching is because somewhere in this mist, I don't even know exactly who they are. I guarantee you in this congregation, and many of them have already gone to heaven, have been praying saints. And people didn't just meet with God in an auditorium. They met with him in the prayer closet. And because of that, we've enjoyed the fruit of that prayer. The Bible says, look at it again, the Lord heard him. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines. And discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines and smote them until they came under Bethkar. And look carefully at verse 12. Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shin and called the name of it, what church? I'm sorry, I didn't hear you. What's the name? Ebenezer. Circle it in your Bible, please. Saying, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Ebenezer is an amazing word. It literally means the stone of help. I was preaching a few days ago in Savannah, Georgia, and the pastor that I was with took me down into that beautiful city, beautiful city. Divided up into 29 squares, and in every square there's either a fountain or a monument or something. And he walked me into a certain square, and he said, "This is Wesley Square." And there, standing right in the middle of that square, perhaps some of you have been there, is a life-size replica of John Wesley. It's fascinating to me. They had the story of Wesley's visit to Savannah, Georgia, and they had a number of his quotes. Well, they didn't say, if you read history, is that Wesley was actually in Savannah, Georgia, preaching before he ever got saved. In fact, it was after he was in Savannah, on his way back across the ocean to England, feeling like he was a total failure, wondering if he even knew God, that he met a group of Moravian missionaries who introduced him to the good news of Jesus Christ, and John Wesley was gloriously saved, and God changed his life. Right in the middle of that square is a giant stone monument to John Wesley. It's amazing to me, but through the centuries, some things don't change. When people want to erect a memorial or a monument, by and large, they choose a stone. Why a stone? Because it's not going anywhere. And everything else may burn. That's not going to burn. And everything else may crumble, but it's not going to crumble. And everything else may fade over time, but stones represent something that is truly lasting, something that goes on. And all through Scripture, all through the Word of God, God's people erected stone monuments. For example, you remember Jacob when he slept on the pillow that he had taken a stone for his pillow in the middle of the night. God met him there. In the midst of the presence of God, he took that stone that he'd made his pillow and he poured oil on top of it. And he named the place. He said, "The presence of the Lord is in this place." And from that point on, God's people by and large began setting up monuments and memorials. You remember
when God's people crossed the river, they took 12 stones, one for every tribe, and they set it right in the midst of the riverbed as a monument. And then they went to the other side, to Gilgal, and erected a similar monument with 12 stones, so that every time their children saw it and said, "What are these stones?" it would be a reminder of the goodness of God in their past. Ironically, I didn't plan it this way, but the last time I was here in this church, several weeks ago now, I preached from the book of Deuteronomy. And I preached on the text that says the Lord is the rock of our salvation. I think it's a beautiful reminder of the fact that the greatest thing we must all remember is not something, it is someone. It is not blessings, it is the blesser. Some people get so wrapped up in the gifts they forget who gave them those gifts. And I would submit to you this morning that perhaps the crying sin of good churches is the sin of forgetfulness. Did it ever dawn on you that perhaps every sin grew out of a forgetful heart? And that when Eve first sinned in the garden, that sin grew out of a heart that had forgotten how truly good God had been to her. May I say to you that forgetfulness is the garden that every other wickedness grows out of, because when you forget how good God is, you turn to evil things to try to meet the needs of your life. And so what was the crying sin of Israel? They always were forgetting God. And we like to sit back in our churches and shake our heads and say, "I can't imagine they would do that." And guess what we do? The exact same thing. We forget how truly good God has been to us. That's why the Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. When you start thinking about how good God has been, it's like the Holy Ghost takes you by the hand and says, "Now let me lead you back to the heart of that loving God who's been so good to you." Oh, how quickly we forget the goodness of our God. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 7, the old preacher Samuel says, "Let's do something." And he erects this monument, this memorial. And he calls it Ebenezer, literally a stone of help. The amazing thing, we're going to come to the end of the chapter in just a moment, but they didn't just erect a monument, the monument became an altar. Would you listen to me very carefully right now? We don't simply need memorials, we need altars. What's the difference? Memorials make you look back, but altars make you look up. And it's not enough, I'm sorry. It's not enough to live on decades of blessings. It's not enough to talk about how good God has been. It's not enough to remember answers to prayer in the past. I ask you, is our God a past tense God, or is he a present tense God? And the answer is, friend, he is the very present help in time of trouble. What is his name? Tell me his name, please. God says, "I'll tell you my name. My name is I Am." I am what? Yes, all of the above. The self-existent, self-sufficient, eternal one. The one who is everything. The God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His name is not I was or I will be. His name is I am, which means that God is at work in the present tense. And I want to say to you, Christ walks among his candlesticks today. And this church is one of his candlesticks, and the Lord Jesus is here. And I'm not trying to be spooky or mystical. I'm just telling you a spiritual reality. As surely as I'm here and you're here today, Christ is in this place at this moment. And surely as you walk down these aisles, the Lord Jesus is here moving and working among his people. Why? Because we must never forget how good our God is. And we're coming back to our verse in verse 12. But before we do, let me just show you a few things. Walk back through those early verses with me for a second. In verse 1 and verse 2, we see that this help only is connected to the presence of God. It's not connected to the presence of people. This is an amazing crowd today. Dr. Lassley, when y'all started with just a few people, to think you'd have this many people to preach to would have been an awe-inspiring thing, wouldn't it? I'll go back even way before then. Let's go back 240 years. And somebody says, "Well, we just started with a handful of people, and yet you see this great crowd of people." But I want you to know, the blessing of God is not the size of this church. As a matter of fact, excuse me, the devil can get a crowd. And just because there's a lot of people sitting in a building doesn't mean that God is blessing and working. May I remind you that the blessing is only connected to the holy presence of our great God. And frankly, it doesn't matter who the pastor is, and it doesn't matter who the evangelist is that blows through town, and it doesn't matter who the man is that's leading in the place if God is not at work among his people. And I want to say to you today, what we need more than ever is a return to the holy presence of God and seeking the face of our great Lord. Before you seek something from him, seek him. When you get the presence of God, you get all the rest besides. Let me show you something else. Come to verse 3. It's not only connected to the presence of God, but this help is connected to repentance. Somebody said, well, that doesn't sound too good. Oh, it's only when you say, I've sinned, that God steps in. What is the great promise of Scripture? If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Watch, please. The end of you is the beginning of him. When you finally throw your hands up in the air, come to wit's end like the psalmist did and say, all right, we give up. We're nothing. We can do nothing. I think heaven applauds and God says, wonderful. I've been waiting on you to get there all along. Because at that moment, God begins to do in our lives what only God can do. And there's probably somebody sitting in this auditorium this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior. And for the record, just because you're here today doesn't mean you're a Christian. If I go sit in a garage, that doesn't make me a car. And if I sit in a church house, that doesn't make me a Christian. Only Jesus can do that. But I want to tell you something. If you'll repent of your sin and by faith take Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he promised to hear that prayer and forgive your sin and come live in your life and give you an eternal home in heaven. What a wonderful Savior we have. But I'll remind you that repentance is not just for lost people. As a matter of fact, when you study the Scriptures, did you know repentance is commanded more for Christians than it is for unconverted men? Did you know I've done a lot more repentance since I got saved than I did when I got saved? Because the nearer and nearer you get to the holiness of God, the more you see of your own unholiness, and the more you realize your great need for God's mercy. And I'm speaking not for you, I'm speaking for me right now. You can dress a guy up, give him a Bible, let him stand and preach, but he's still just a black-hearted, hell-deserving sinner in desperate need of the mercy of God. If Scott Pauley got what he deserved, he'd be burning in hell this morning. But I'm not in hell. And praise his holy name, I'm never going to hell. Because of the mercy of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you what I need every day of my life. I need mercy. Oh, aren't you glad his mercies are new every morning? Aren't you glad that his mercy endureth forever? And moment by moment, God shows me sin in my life, puts his finger on things in me, and I say, dear Lord, you're right and that's wrong. And at that moment, God shows up and gives the help that only God can give. That's not all. Come on, look at verse number 7 and verse 8 and verse 9. His help is not only connected to his presence and our repentance, but it's connected to prayer. To prayer. It's only as we seek the face of our God that we find the help we need in him. And I think it's beautiful here to see Samuel not only praying for himself, but praying for others. Oh, intercession brings divine intervention. You want to see God help you? Pray for somebody else. You want to see the Lord step into your circumstance and situation? Then get somebody else's burden on your heart and bear it to the throne of grace. And I promise you, God will work on both ends. Well, that's not all. This help is connected, watch this please, to the blood of the Lamb. Did you notice what happened? In verse 9, Samuel takes a lamb and kills it. Remember, our Lord Jesus would be the final sacrifice for sin, the perfect lamb offered for us. And now notice where he brings the lamb to at the end of verse number 11. They came under Bethkar. Do you know what Bethkar means? It literally means the house of the lamb. I love this. He takes a lamb and he brings it to the house of the lamb and he sacrifices it there. Let me tell you why. Because every good thing in life or in eternity is connected to the blood of Jesus Christ. And these men sang about it a moment ago and I was thrilled to hear it. Because apart from the blood of Jesus, we're all lost. And apart from the blood of Jesus, I have no future. And as I stand behind this pulpit this morning, and I mean this with all my heart, I plead one thing, the blood of Christ. I need him as I've never needed him before. On this on this day that marks your life as a church, and it marks my 43rd birthday. I'm standing here thinking about what a sinful man I am and how desperately I need God. But oh, aren't you rejoicing today in the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin? The help is connected to the blood. And then watch this. The help is connected to the Word of God. Look in verse 10. God speaks. Don't you love it when God speaks? The Bible says the Lord thundered with a great thunder. Psalm 29 says the glory of God thundereth. The voice of the Lord thundereth. Oh, what a mighty thing it is when God speaks. Would you look me in the eye just a moment? You can hear the voice of a preacher and not be changed. But when God speaks to your heart, it changes everything. It's not always in a meeting like this. Sometimes it's in the quiet of the night when nobody's around and nobody knows what you're thinking and nobody knows what you're going through. And suddenly the still small voice of God begins thundering to your heart. I'm going to tell you, those are precious moments. At that moment, you're on the threshold of many good things that God has for you. Do not reject and do not neglect when God begins to speak to you by His Word. And so we come back to our verse 12. And what do we learn from Ebenezer? Three simple thoughts, and I'll give them to you quickly. They're all found in the last phrase. Would you look at the phrase? Samuel says, "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." Let's take this word, "hath." "Hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And I want to tell you, first of all, this morning, that Ebenezer is praise for the past. Do you see the past tense word there? It's looking back to what the Lord has done. And may I just reflect a moment? August the 25th, 1976, I discovered America. I was born. A few years went by, and a lady took a Bible and shared with me that I needed to be born again. She told me that God loved me and that Jesus had died for my sins, was buried, and rose from the dead, and that I could live with Him forever and eternity, and He'd come to live in me now. Look, you want to talk about a good deal. He comes to live in your house now, and you go to live in His house for eternity. That's pretty good. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What a thing it is to be saved. And on that day, I took Jesus as my personal Savior. I've made a lot of dumb decisions, things I regret, but I've never once regretted trusting Christ as my Savior. The old hymn writer said, glad day, when Jesus washed my sins away. And so I'm reflecting now on the goodness of God in saving me. I'm thinking about the family that He's given me and the life and the privilege to serve Him. And frankly, I'm testifying now. I'm not the preacher. I'm just fellow Christian right now. I want to tell you, God has never failed me. He has never forsaken me. And He's never forgotten me. And I don't think He's going to start today. And I don't know who you are or what you're dealing with. But I want to remind you that God knows you. He loves you with an everlasting love. He has every hair on your head numbered. He knows you by name. He has His eye on you at this moment, and His ear is open to your prayer. He has never forsaken you, and He's not about to start at this moment. And Ebenezer reminds us that we should praise God for what He's done in the past. There's a second truth in this little phrase. Look at it, please. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. How many of you in your Bible, Lord is all capital letters? Look at it, please. Capital L, capital O, capital R, capital... You know why that is? Because this is Yahweh. This is the covenant name for God. This was that holy, sacred name. Did you know they wouldn't even speak the name? It was so sacred to them, they wouldn't even say it out loud. It's what it meant to them. Did you know that when the scribes wrote this name, Yahweh, Jehovah God, that they got a new pen to write with because they didn't want it to be unholy by any other thing? Did you know before they even wrote the name, they would change their clothes and take a bath? Why? Because the holy name of Jehovah God was a reminder of who He was and who they were. And so here's the second thing I say to you that Ebenezer says. Stones do talk sometimes, you know. Number one, they remind us to praise Him for the past. Number two, there's a principle for the present. And what is the principle for the present? That the God who has will. And the God who was is. The same one who's worked with them and for them and through them all of these years is working at this very moment. Can I tell you what one of the devil's chief lies is? God's through with you. He's through with you. You really blew it. You're finished. You're done. It's over. Aren't you glad He's not God? But I want to remind you of something about our great God, and that is that our Lord is a very present help in time of trouble. Our God is always at work in our lives, and His mercy is always fresh every moment. And so look at it, please. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. As I was meditating on this phrase, I missed this word for years. I just missed it. Do y'all still believe every word of Scripture is given by inspiration of God? Y'all believe that? Like nothing's there as a filler. Nothing's there just to be there. Everything's there on purpose. But here's the word. Matter of fact, I'm going to read again. When I stop, you say the next word. Ready? Here we go. Verse 12, then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpah and Shen and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, there's the word. Circle it in your Bible. Hath is a word of past. The Lord's help is a word of present. But the word hitherto is a prayer for the future. Do you know what hitherto means? It literally means to this point. Watch, please. Do you know what it implies? It implies that we're on a journey and the Lord has helped us to this point. But watch, please. The journey's not over yet. You see, the journey will not be over until we see Jesus face to face. That could happen before I finish preaching today. You want to talk about a great anniversary Sunday? Can you imagine if we all got to go to heaven today from this place? What an anniversary day to remember. Any moment, the trumpet may sound, and the Lord Jesus may step out in a cloud, and the dead in Christ would rise, and we that know Him would be caught up alive with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Look, the children of God always have a bright future. I meet people sometimes who are up in years and having a hard time. They say to me, well, you know, preacher, my best days are behind me. And I say, wait a minute, hold up. Are you a Christian? Yes. Then your best days are not behind you. Did it ever dawn on you the best day you're ever going to live is the day you see Jesus Christ face to face? That means the best day you're ever going to live is still ahead of you. It means the future for God's children is bright no matter what the news channel says. No matter what the bank account looks like, no matter what somebody around you is saying, get your eyes off yourself, get your eyes off others, get your eyes off the circumstance, and get your eyes back on God. Because the same God who worked in the past and is present in the present has promised to go with you all the way to the throne of God someday. Where's this going to end? I'll tell you where it's all going to end, at the nail-pierced feet of Jesus. Every knee bowing, every tongue confessing that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And so when I look at this, look at it again. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. I said to you, I'm not preaching today for your past. I'm preaching for your future. What are we praying for? Well, let's read the end of the chapter. Look at verse 13. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more into the coast of Israel. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. Now you remember that the Philistines were the nemesis of Israel. They were the enemy that keep popping their head up. But did you ever notice that phrase? They came no more into the coast of Israel. May I say to you, my prayer for you today is that God will give you new victories. In fact, He will give you greater victories than the ones you have known to this point. If the Lord's helped you with victory in the past, He can help you with victory in the future. Look at the next verse, verse 14. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even into Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. I've marked in verse 13 the word subdued. That's victory over the enemy. But I've marked in verse 14 the word restored. Oh, I love this. He not only gives you new victories, He helps you reclaim the ground you've lost that you should never have lost to start with. And maybe you're sitting in here today saying, I've really blown it. I've made a mess of things. I'm a long ways from what I ought to be. Well, I've got good news for you today. Good news even for God's people. And it is this. The Lord can restore what you blew. What a God of mercy we have. And then look at verse 15. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. And he went, notice this phrase, from year to year. From year to year in circuit to Bethel and Gilgal and Mizpah, and judged Israel in all those places. What is this? It's divine direction. Let's take a church vote this morning. Would you let the guest evangelist call for a church vote? How many of you want to vote today that we find and follow God's direction? Would you raise your hand? Look, it's the only hope any people have for your life, for your family, for this church. It's the only hope to find God's way. Here's the beauty. God says, if you'll repent of your sin, if you'll give yourself afresh to me, if you'll pray and lay hold on the word of God, God says, I will continue to lead you in the future as I've led you in the past. And then we come to the final verse, and I love it. Look at verse 17. And his return was to Ramah. For there was his house, and there he judged Israel. And there he built, and what, church? Do you remember how I started this message? I said to you, we don't just need a memorial, we need an altar. Well, I come full circle back to that now, because the last thing you see Samuel and the people of God doing in 1 Samuel 7 is not just singing a happy song about days gone by. Everybody wants to talk about the good old days. I wonder if the good old days were actually as good as we remembered them at times. I was reading the other day in Ecclesiastes, and Solomon points out that some people say that the past days are better than these days. Listen to me. That's not true if your life is in God's hands. My pastor used to say the prime of life is any time in life you're in the center of the will of God. I like that. Somebody said, I've missed my prime. We've missed, no. If you'll get in the will of God, you'll be right in the prime of life. You'll never believe what God can do in and through you, exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or even think. They came into that new temple in the days of Haggai, and they said, well, you know, the old men said, you know, this temple's not as nice as the former temple. We remember the former temple. And Haggai said, I want to tell you that the glory of God's going to fill this temple in a greater way than it did Solomon's temple. How was that possible? Because that was the temple that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, God robed in flesh, would literally walk into. It was Campbell Morgan that said, it's impossible to unlock the present with the rusty key of the past. You want God's blessing on the other side of the divine door? You want to get heaven's windows open? You can't do that with old rusty keys. You got to come with fresh faith in God and say, by the grace of God, we're moving forward believing that God is able. And so in the last verse, they continue their prayer. Ebenezer, because hitherto hath the Lord helped us. His name was Robert Robinson. His daddy died when he was a boy. He had a tough life. He really did have a tough life. He got in with the wrong crowd. Started making trouble. He and his buddies decided they were going to go to a church service one night, make fun of the preacher. They weren't going to listen. They were going to disrupt. They got there and sat on the back row. They had things ready to throw and things they were going to chant and all that kind of thing. And they said a middle-aged man stood and came to the pulpit, opened his Bible. They didn't know him. Maybe you've heard of him. His name was George Whitfield. They said he had the glow of God on him. Whitfield's text that night was the gospel according to Matthew. Jesus' words, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Robert said, I sat there with my mouth open. He said, I'd never heard anybody preach like that. He said, me and my buddies sat there the whole time and never said a word. We couldn't. God was there. He left the meeting that night under real Holy Ghost conviction. He didn't get saved. And at 20 years of age, he trusted Jesus as his personal Savior. God changed his life. About 2 years later, he sat down with a pen and a piece of paper and started writing a song. Would you take your hymn book out for a moment? Everybody get a hymn book in front of you. It'd be easy to find. It's the third hymn in your hymn book. And I'm not going to sing, so relax, all right? We love to sing it. It's a great old hymn. You've probably sang it 100 times if you've grown up in church, but I wonder if you ever noticed the little name in the top left-hand corner, Robert Robinson. There he is. You see him? And here's what he wrote, Come, thou fount of every blessing. Tune my heart to sing thy grace. Streams of mercy never ceasing call for songs of loudest praise. Teach me some melodious sonnet sung by flaming tongues above. Praise the mount, I'm fixed upon it, mount of thy redeeming love. It's beautiful, isn't it? Did you ever notice the second verse? As a kid growing up singing it, I thought, what on earth does that mean? Here I raise mine what? There's that word, Ebenezer. Hither by thy help I am come. Sound like he'd been reading 1 Samuel 7. What do you think? and I hope by thy good pleasure safely to arrive at home. Jesus sought me when a stranger, wandering from the fold of God, he to rescue me from danger interposed his precious blood. I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of Bible doctrine in that verse from 1 Samuel 7. What most people don't know about Robert Robinson is that Robert Robinson got away from God, got backslidden. Did you know saved people, sincere people, spiritual people can sin, get away from the Lord? Some of you may be there today. You need a new beginning with God. Robinson was running from God. Let me just remind you, God always knows right where you are. And he knows how to speak to you too. Robinson got on a stagecoach one day, traveling, and there was a woman seated across from him. There's just two of them, only two of them on the coach. He didn't know her. She didn't know him. They don't even speak. Robinson sits down. Woman's already on. Coach takes off for their destination. They've got quite a ride, and the woman starts humming a hymn. Then she decides she'll just sing a little bit of it softly. She doesn't think the passenger will mind. And guess what hymn she's singing? Come thou fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. Robinson started weeping. Started weeping. The woman stopped singing. She said, am I offending you, sir? And he said, no, ma'am. She said, do you not like my song? And he said to her, ma'am, I'm the poor soul that wrote those words. And he said, I'd give 1,000 worlds if I could feel now as I felt the day I wrote them. Did you ever notice the third verse of the hymn? Oh, to grace, how great a debtor. Daily I'm constrained to be. Let thy goodness like a fetter bind my wandering heart to thee. Look at it, look at it. Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart. Oh, take and seal it. Seal it for thy courts above. And I wonder today if there wouldn't be some people in this room who'd come and say to God, Lord, you've been very good to me, and I thank you for your goodness, and I've taken it for granted, and I'm sorry for that. But on this day, I want to rededicate myself to you. And from this day to the day I see Jesus face to face, I want to be kept as near to God as is possible. I wonder today if some families in this room wouldn't gather around an old-fashioned altar and raise an Ebenezer. And let today be a new beginning in your home. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Our Father, I thank you for the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. I thank you for this wonderful church and the precious souls that are here this day. But, oh Lord, we must do business with God. And so I pray, help us now. Help us, Lord. You are the great helper. Help us now, Lord. Do what no preacher can do. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, and we sit quietly for a moment without any music. I'm going to ask some very honest questions, and I'm going to ask you to give an honest answer. And I'm going to give you my word that I'm not going to embarrass you or come after you. I want to pray for you. How many of you truly know in your heart that you by faith have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And if Jesus came today or you died in the next 60 seconds, you can honestly say, preacher, I'm ready to go to heaven. I know I've been saved. I'd like you to raise your hand in the air with mine. Keep it up just a moment. And with your hand raised to heaven right now, I want you to take just a moment and thank God for that. Would you do that? When was the last time you just said to Jesus, thank you for not letting me go to hell. Thank you for saving me and dying for me. What a wonderful Savior we have. Bless his holy name. This is not about a church. This is about Christ. What a Christ. What a Savior we have. You may lower your hands. Perhaps you're here today and you could not raise your hand a moment ago with confidence and assurance and certainty. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I want to pray for you. God already knows the answer to this question. It's dangerous to lie to him. Would you please tell the truth? How many people in this room would say, "Preacher, if I died where I'm sitting right now, I don't know 100% sure that I'm ready to meet God. I don't know for sure that my sins are forgiven and that Jesus is my Savior. But I know this, I don't want to go to hell. And I'm concerned enough about my soul to ask you to pray for me this morning. Preacher, would you pray for me? I'm not sure I'm a Christian, but I'm sure I don't want to be lost. I want you to lift your hand in the air with mine right now quickly. And then pull it back down. Thank you, I see you. Who else? Pray for me, preacher. I'm not certain that I know the Lord Jesus. Thank you, God bless you. Thank you so very much for your honesty. Who else? I'm not certain my sins are forgiven, but I need the Lord. If you just raised your hand anywhere in this room, or you didn't, but you should have, nobody else is looking, I'd like you to lift your head and look at me a moment. Would you look at me? Thank you. I see you. Thank you. I don't know you, but I know this, God loves you. Would you just look at me for a moment? I just want to talk to you. Jesus died for your sins. Do you believe that? Do you believe Jesus rose from the dead? Do you believe he rose from the dead like the Bible says? He died for your sins. That's what the Bible says. That's not my message. That's God's truth. He died for your sins. He was buried and he rose from the dead so you could have eternal life. There are not 1,000 ways to God. There is one way. His name is Jesus. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." 37 years ago, would you look here? 37 years ago, I called on Jesus and I asked him to be my Savior. I've prayed a lot of prayers, but that was the most important prayer I ever prayed. And it was the greatest decision of my life. I've never once regretted trusting Jesus, never once. And I'm going to give you a verse this morning. The Bible says, whosoever, that's anybody, no matter who you are or what you've done, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It means if you'd pray a simple prayer of faith right where you are right now, Jesus promises to wash your heart clean in his own blood and make you a new person in Jesus Christ. Is that what you want? Do you want to know for sure you're on your way to heaven? Do you want to know for sure you have a relationship with God? Then I want to give you an opportunity right where you sit right now to call on Jesus. I'm talking about this second. We never know when the Lord's coming or when we might be called for. Let's not waste another moment. If you mean business, I'd like you to bow your head with me right now. And every person in this room that's not certain you're ready to meet God, that you're really a Christian, I'm going to ask you if you'd pray a simple prayer to him right now. You're not talking to me. I can't save you. I'm not your priest. Jesus is that. And there's no magic formula to the words. It's simply calling on him in faith. If you want to be saved right now, would you pray something like this from your heart to God? Sir, ma'am, would you pray it right now? Would you just say to the Lord quietly, "Dear God," he's listening, "Dear God, I'm a sinner. And if I get what I deserve, I would not go to heaven. But I don't want to go to hell. And I believe that Jesus died for my sins. I believe that he rose from the dead. Come into my life. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me a new heart and eternal life. I trust you right now as my Savior. Thank you for dying for me. Now help me to live for you." Our heads are bowed. Nobody's looking. We'll give you a verse. Did you just pray that prayer? We'll give you another verse. The Bible says, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." If I gave you $1,000,000 this morning, you wouldn't be embarrassed. You'd be excited. And if you just prayed that prayer, you got something better, buddy, than $1,000,000. You got eternal life. You can never spend that up. And if you prayed that prayer in a minute, I don't believe you'll be embarrassed to tell me. So I'm going to ask you right now with no one else looking, how many people in this room would say, "Preacher, I just prayed that simple prayer to God and meant it from my heart. And right where I'm sitting this morning, I'm making the decision to trust Christ and Christ alone to be my Savior." I want you to raise your hand in the air with mine right now. God bless you, sir. And God bless you and you. That's so very good. Amen. If you raised your hand, would you look me in the eye right now? Just look at me. I want to congratulate you and you and you. I'm going to give you my word on something. Look at me. I'm going to give you my word on something. We will not embarrass you, and I'm not going to ask you to give a speech. I promise you. But I want somebody to have a prayer with you and give you something to take home that you can read about knowing Jesus as your Savior. Now, I said I was going to ask everybody to make a decision. Remember that? I'm getting ready to do that. We're going to have a lot of people praying here in the altar. I don't want you to get lost in that shuffle. So here's what I'd like to do. The pastor's coming down right now, and the assistants are here, and prayer people, counselors, each of you that prayed and asked Jesus to be your Savior, I'm going to ask you on the count of three to quietly get out of your seat and just come take them by the hand and let someone pray with you this morning. You prayed to trust Jesus. I want you to come tell us. One, two, three. Right now, would you come tell us? God bless you, sir. Would you come, young lady? It's wonderful. Ma'am, you trusted the Lord. Would you come and let a lady talk with you and pray with you? That's so very good. God bless you. God bless you. Who else? You say, I'm coming today, receiving Jesus as my Savior. Come to Christ. Maybe you didn't pray, but you should have. And you're sitting there battling. Maybe you have questions that need to be answered. It's never going to get any easier than this moment to come to Jesus. Why don't you get out of your seat now and come? Let somebody with a Bible in their hand and the love of God in their heart show you how you can have your sins forgiven. Oh, I love the promise of Jesus that him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's good right there. It means if you'll come to Jesus, he'll come to you. If you'll take him as your Savior, he'll take you as his child. God bless you, ladies. Wonderful. Praise God. Come on. There's people here to pray with you. We'll have ladies here to meet you and encourage you. Wonderful. Praise God. Wonderful. Amen. Yes, you workers come, if you don't mind, some of you ladies, to pray with these women and talk with each of them, counsel them. That's so very good. Wonderful. Now, while we're dealing with people and praying with folks, may I ask this question right now? No one's looking but this preacher. How many saved people among us today would say, preacher, I'm not where I need to be as a Christian? Let's forget the church collectively. I'm not where I need to be. I'm like that guy you talked about a minute ago. I've wandered a little bit from the Lord. And I need my sins forgiven. I need my fellowship restored. I need to make some things right with God as a Christian. Preacher, God's speaking to me. Pray for me. I want you to raise your hand in the air with mine right now. Would you please? I see you. Yes, God bless you. If you truly want to be right and you mean business about it, I want you to stand to your feet right where you are. You raise your hand, just stand up. God bless you, sir. God bless you, ma'am. Just stand up right where you are. God bless you and you. Who else? Thank you, young man. And you, sir, in the balcony. God bless you. You say, I'm a Christian, but I truly want to be right with God today. Now, if you're standing, would you look at me? I'm about to ask lots of other people to come and pray, but I want you to get some spiritual help today. I'm thrilled you're here, and I'm thrilled God's speaking to you. And I'm going to ask you to be the first to come to this altar. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I'm going to ask you to leave your place right now and come kneel at this altar and come tell the Lord. God bless you. Just come tell him what you just told me. I'm a Christian, but I want to be right with God. And I want our workers and counselors to be here and sensitive. There may be folks coming now who need to be prayed with. Some of you deacons, deacons' wives, Sunday school teachers, and men and women, bring your Bibles and come. Find these precious ones at the altar. Put your arm around somebody. Talk with them. Find out why they're coming. Let's pray together and encourage them. You may be here today. You've been saved but never baptized. And you need to come tell somebody, I want to follow the Lord in baptism. Maybe you're not a member of this church, but you need to be a member of this church. This would be a great day on this anniversary Sunday for you to come and tell the pastor, I'd like to join, put my life and influence here. Wonderful. God bless you, sir. Someone's going to come and pray with you right now. Wonderful. If you need spiritual help and spiritual counsel, this is your opportunity. I don't want to overlook somebody. I'd hate the thought somebody was here with a definite spiritual need and didn't get someone to pray with them and somebody to talk to them and help them. We're waiting just a moment. Now I want to speak to all of God's people. Whether you're a member of this church or not, I want to speak to all of God's people. And I want to ask a very simple question. How many believers, I'm talking to God's children now, would say this morning, preacher, I know I'm saved. I love Jesus and I love my church, but today I want a new beginning. I want to raise an Ebenezer and rededicate myself to God and say to the Lord, Lord, I want the days from this day to the day I see Jesus to be the greatest days of my Christian life. I want that for me and I want it for my family. Preacher, I want in on that. I want you to raise your hand toward heaven right now. Would you please? You say, that's me. Amen. Amen. Well, here's what we're going to do. I know it's Sunday morning, but actually there is no Sunday night service, so this is the whole day all wrapped up in one. This is for God's people. In a moment, I'm going to begin a prayer of dedication to God. I'm not going to say amen because I'm not ending it, I'm just starting it.